But how persistent are we? Have we asked? Again, Scripture says you have not because you ask not. Have we contended with God for our needs, for the things that we're believing for? Verse 9, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened.
Welcome to Friendly Connection. Friendly Connection is the teaching ministry of Chuck Hartman.
Understand that each one of you in this room can share the good news of Christ in a way that I cannot.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
Think about the number of us, no matter how young or old you are, in this room. How many lives each of us could touch and change this week by redeeming the time.
We at Friendly Connection pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith.
That is essential. If you are doing any kind of work for the kingdom of God, it's important that you know your identity in Christ Jesus.
Now, let's go to today's message.
Jesus goes on to say, give us daily our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Jesus knows that we have needs. God knows that we have needs. And he's saying, don't hesitate to ask God for your physical needs. God knows that you have physical needs. Scripture says, we have not because we ask not. And I wonder how many times we go in need all because we haven't asked. We think, well, my need isn't like someone else's need. God doesn't have time for my little piddly need when someone else has something so much more severe that they're dealing with. No, God wants to hear about every need, no matter how small or how great you might think it is. The truth of the matter is, every need that I have in my life, God has to fulfill. He may give me wisdom, he may give me understanding, he may give me strength, but ultimately, he's the one who meets the need. So don't hesitate to ask him, thinking it's too small or too insignificant. God wants to know. He already knows, but he wants you to tell him. Then he says, forgive us our sins. Now understand, this is Jesus telling his disciples how to pray. Jesus isn't asking to be forgiven of sin because Jesus knew no sin. Scripture tells us that. But Jesus knows his audience, those that he's teaching, were born in sin. They have a need of forgiveness. And he's saying, ask for forgiveness and you will find forgiveness. Ask God and he will give you forgiveness. Then he goes on to say, forgive others. If there are those who are indebted to you, those who have sinned against you, forgive them. That's hard to do. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I know in my own life, it's hard to forgive other people, especially when they've wronged you, when they've said things about you that's just not true. They've acted in ways that hurt your feelings. It can be hard to offer forgiveness. But Scripture even says if you find in when you're praying that you have some ought against someone else, you need to go make that thing right and then come back and pray. So when we're praying, ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything that I'm holding against any person, any unforgiveness, anything that needs to be dealt with? And the Holy Spirit, if you ask, he's a gentleman, he'll tell you, he'll reveal to you those things that you need to forgive others of. Forgive others. Don't hold on to bitterness. Don't hold on to hatred. Don't hold on to things that would separate you from God's love. Get those things out of the way so that you can enjoy this intimacy with God. Jesus practiced. He didn't just preach this. He practiced this. On the cross, dying for our sins, what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We find Stephen following Jesus' model in the book of Acts when he's being stoned by the religious people. Don't charge this against them, God. And then it says he fell asleep. And we know that Saul, who became Paul, was one of the people there at Stephen's stoning. And I just wonder, if Stephen hadn't offered forgiveness, would we have never had Paul? I just wonder. I can't tell you one way or another. But I just wonder about that. But it does help us understand the importance of forgiving those who have wronged us, even in some egregious thing like death. Stephen didn't want anyone having that charge to them. Forgive them, God. It's hard to do. It's easier spoken than practiced. But that's what Jesus is saying here. Forgive others. Forgive others. Then he goes on to say, lead us not into temptation. Now, James chapter 1 verse 13 assures us that God doesn't tempt anyone. So Jesus isn't saying, pray to God and ask him to never tempt you, because God never tempts you. No temptation comes to you from God. What Jesus is saying is, you have an enemy who's going to bring temptation against you. He's going to try to use temptation in your life to get you to sin, to get you to mess up, to get you to trip, to get you to make God look bad. Ask God to deliver you from the temptation of the enemy. Again, God doesn't put temptation on people, but we have an enemy who does. Deliver us from what the enemy might be trying to work an attack in our life. Ask God to deliver us from those things. Now, we sometimes stop there, but Jesus continues to teach about praying. Yes, the model prayer sort of ends at that point, depending on the version of scripture that you read. Some extend the prayer out just a little longer. But Jesus continues by giving a parable, and Jesus often gives parables. And he gives this parable to illustrate a very important principle of prayer. He said to them, which of you would have a friend that comes at midnight, and you would go to another friend's house and beat on the door and say, hey, wake up, I need 3 loaves of bread, please give me, because I've got this traveler who's come and I wasn't expecting him, and I'm unprepared. They're hungry, I need to put something before them. And the friend's inside the house, and he says, no, I'm not getting up. I know we're friends, but my children are in bed with me. You're asking me to wake them up to get out of bed, and then I've got to get them back to sleep. But what does Jesus say? The persistence. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on begging. What happens? The individual gets up, not because of their friendship, but because of their impudence. That word impudence literally could almost mean a persistence that borderlines on rudeness. And that's definitely what's going on in the story, because I don't know about you, but I'd get pretty perturbed at midnight if I'm having someone beat on my door. Now, it's happened. I've had calls at all times of the day or night, and it's okay. I mean, that's even if I'm not a pastor, that's okay. That's just who I am. But at the same time, it's like, I'd really like to be asleep here. Can we not deal with this tomorrow? But I think what Jesus is wanting us to understand is this. Be persistent. Don't ever feel like God is tired of you coming to him time and time and time again, asking for the same thing, believing for the same thing, needing the same thing. Continue to ask. Continue to seek. Continue to praise. Continue to thank. God wants that intimacy with you. Whether it's midnight, or it's afternoon, or it's some other time, God's door is never closed. He's never too busy to hear. He's never too busy to answer. And those who persist will find that they get their request. In fact, Jesus will go on to say just that. He says, everyone It's either open, they receive, they find, or again, twice he says, it is opened. But how persistent are we? Have we asked? Again, scripture says you have not because you ask not. Have we contended with God for our needs, for the things that we're believing for? Verse 9, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Have I prayed? Have I knocked? Have I been faithful in seeking and pleading with God in a petition, in a prayer? Have I been doing my part so that God can do his part? Then Jesus goes on to say, know that God gives good gifts. He gives good things. He says, just like you parents, you know how to give your children good things. God knows how to give good things to you. If your child needed something positive, would you give them a serpent? No. Would you give them a scorpion? No. You would give them your need. So why do you expect any less from God? Expect that much more from God. In fact, verse 13 goes on to say, God gives you the very best. He gives you himself. He gives person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, to you. Luke 11:13. And you might be sitting here thinking, but I didn't ask for the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter. God gives you himself. The most perfect thing that he could give you. Think about this. He gives you his Spirit, the fountain from which all good things flow. You ask for comfort? What is God giving you? He hasn't given you comfort. He's given you the Comforter to come and indwell you, to be inside you. You ask God for peace, he hasn't just merely given you some peace. He's given you the source of peace, his Holy Spirit to indwell you. Think about that. Luke 11:13 confirms that our greatest gift is the Holy Spirit, or one of our greatest gifts is the Holy Spirit, because right up there with it is Jesus' salvation, a wonderful gift that God has given to us. He gives us himself. We ask for strength. He gives the one who is all strength. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent. And he indwells you. You could fill in the blank with whatever. Whatever your need is. The Holy Spirit can help you. Can give you the wisdom, the discernment you need to succeed. So understand, you may not be asking for the Holy Spirit, but God has given you the most perfect gift he could, himself, to indwell you, to give you peace that passes all understanding, to not just comfort you, but to be your comfort, even in the hardest of situations, to be the Spirit that rises up within you, that gives you ideas and thoughts that don't come from you, that come from God, that you can use to not only bless yourself, but to bless multitudes. Think about that. So yes, God gives you, he answers you, and he gives you so much more than you ever thought, because he gives you himself.
I hope you will join us again for Friendly Connection so we can explore God's Word together. Blessings.